Lifers, welcome to this conversation. We are two brothers here.
With our shoes on today.
You had to mention that. Yeah. My name is Jesse, and Ephraim, the other side mm-hmm. of the microphone. How are you doing, my brother?
I am blessed, as always, you know.
You were so hyped to say hello to two lifers today. Two lifers.
Just two today. I want to just send a special shout out to Darius and Giselle.
Are they a couple?
No, actually. Wow, that's funny. These are two lifers who have listened to this podcast and have been faithful with it. And we appreciate the support. They have businesses. You should go and support their businesses. I will try to see if on social media I can share some of that content. But Giselle sells bags. She has a door-to-door delivery service for vegetables, fruits, and veggies. She also has a swimsuit business. Then Darius, for him, he has a cafe in Chimuhura. And so these are just people who love the content we talk about here. And I felt that we needed to just give them that shout out.
Thank you so much, Darius and Giselle, for listening in. We hope that this one as well will make meaning to you. Today, we just want to shed light on the concept of doing business beyond mere profitability. In a world where economic success takes center stage, the measure of is your business succeeding is we're looking at how much in profit. Mm-hmm. I always tend to hear people say, are you profitable? And when you say, no, not yet, like, why are you still doing the same thing and you're not profitable? Mm. So precisely, I would like you to bring some perspective to challenge the traditional notions of business objectives. Mm. And, maybe advocate for a broader understanding of corporate purpose, one that encompasses social, environmental, and ethical considerations along financial gains. Mm. And so we are here to learn together. Now, Ephraim, I'd like to kick off things by maybe asking you to share your insights on why should businesses consider purpose beyond profitability? What benefits does this broader perspective really offer?
Let me start with a saying that I heard. It was on a podcast. I'm sure by now lifers know that I'm always saying, let me tell you something. I heard another podcast, but
I read a book.
I realize that I'm an audiovisual learner, but I still do read. But I realize I consume content faster
when you hear it.
When I'm hearing it, and so I said, instead of me trying to limit myself because of what I think I need to do, because reading is still necessary, let me consume as much audiovisual content as I can while I still maintain the reading because it's necessary, right? Mm-hmm. Purely for comprehension, also for just, there's a way when you read information or content, it's different.
Underline.
Exactly. And you interact. It's more tangible. Mm. It feels real. But that's another story for another day. So this particular saying that I heard to talk about what we're going to talk about today, it said, if you're in business solely to make money, you would save more money quitting your business and going and looking for a job. Have you ever heard that saying before?
If you are in business solely to make money?
Uh-huh. You will save money by quitting your business and
basically, don't waste your money being in business.
Yeah, you're going to waste money. Like, if your sole purpose of being in business is to make money, actually, business is not as profitable as you think it is at the early stages. And any entrepreneur who is listening to this, the lifers that we love so much, even us who are sitting here, we can attest to the fact that if we were looking at business purely from how much money we can make, we probably wouldn't be in business today. Mm. Because, yes, maybe when you started, you were naive about the realities, but once you started and you looked at the math, you're like, the math is not math.
Nothing.
So, in essence, when you look at that reality, the next question then comes in is, but why do entrepreneurs do what they do, even if money is not necessarily at the heart of why they do what they do? Money is necessary. And we all desire money because it grants us a certain level of freedom, lifestyle that we desire, right? Some of us think money will buy us happiness. That's our own business. That one, I'm not going to get into that. I'm not a psychologist. To each their own. But money serves a purpose for everybody, and it's necessary. You can't live in a silo, right? Mm-hmm. But if money is your sole motivator for doing things, there is a very high chance you will not be consistent with what you're doing and follow through. And so excellence won't be birthed out of your actions. You won't become the best at what you do. Mm-hmm. And in turn, you won't make the kind of money that excellent people who do the work that they do will make. And I'm trying to build this out so that you can understand what I'm about to say. I'm going to qualify all of this based on why one has to look beyond profit, right? Why profitability, as much as it's good, is not a means to an end. Now, let's talk about profitability as a definition, right? What is profit? Just your own perspective.
Profit is, there is my cost to run the business. Mm-hmm. I have met all of it. Mm-hmm. And now I have excess, which I should carry home.
Aha. Now, you said a very interesting thing, which is where I want us to tweak it. Mm-hmm. And the difference between a large business and a small business, or a professional business and an informal business. You said the surplus that is left for you to take home. Do you know what the word dividends mean?
Pay the shareholder.
Ah, you see, now you're using big words.
I wanted to use the simple words, but then I started to read your face. Uh-huh. Like, bring out the economist in you.
And it's because I want to drive something home, right? Dividends is the payment that is made by a company to its shareholders from the profit that it has made. Right. So someone would be like, if profit is the amount of money I have that's left for me to take home, and then there is a word like dividends, what's the difference? And now that's where you will understand why business should be done beyond profit, because there's something I'm trying to drive home. And I hope you're with me. I don't know if you see how I'm building this out. Mm-hmm. Today I'm wearing shoes, so I'm serious.
I'm waiting.
Yeah. When you understand why dividends exist, that word dividend exists to separate profit, to explain that there's an amount that's given to shareholders and there's an amount that is made, is because when you understand the purpose of profit, then you can understand why businesses exist beyond profit. We're together. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I feel like I'm preaching. Like at this juncture, I'm like, I'm about to hit you with Bible verses and like the six things now. So you have a dividend. And let me also show you an interesting thing. Do you know that the profit that is made from a company in Rwanda, you're going to pay CIT. Recently, beginning of this week, actually, companies were filing their corporate income tax returns, right? Not returns, sorry, corporate income tax filings. They were declaring taxes. And the effective rate is 28%, right? So if you're lucky, you made 10 million francs, you're going to pay 2.8 on that. You're going to be left with 7.2. Now, if the company decides to give you that 7.2, as the shareholder, in the form of dividends, they have to withhold another percentage in the form of taxes. Mm. So it's called withholding tax. Mm. Now from your income. Do you know the percentage?
As income tax?
Withholding tax on dividends.
No.
It ranges between 5 to 15%. It depends whether you're a company that's receiving the dividend or it's an individual. Mm-hmm. Now, why would you be taxed on profit twice if it's your money? I'm coming to something here. Why would the government feel the need to tax you on the profit that the company made and the percentage that was paid out to you? It's because those two things are not your money. Like they're not the same thing. Sorry, that's what I wanted to say. Dividends that are paid out to you is your money. Profit is not yet your money. Now, with that in mind and with that framing of your mindset, what is the purpose of profit? When I was in school, university, and was studying about business, they told us that the purpose of profit is to help a company grow. Actually, it said the purpose of a company, the objectives of why companies exist is growth. Mm. And then they said growth is achieved by profit. you understand what that simply means.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they say that? It means that you have made a surplus on your capital. I hope I'm not getting technical, but this is...
No, we're together. Good. We're still good.
You have made a surplus on your capital. That's what profit represents. That means you have an extra pool of capital to now reinvest back into the business so that the business can do more. So if your working capital was 5 million and you made a profit of another 5 million, if you decide, I'm not going to pay out a dividend, I'm going to replow that back into the business. Now your working capital is 10. The business has grown. So if the sole purpose of businesses existing or entrepreneurs going into business is to make money, why would that concept exist? Why would there be a distinction between profit and dividends? Why would there be a need to create that distinction and be a need for reinvestment? There's even something they call deferred tax. If you're going to go and you're going to reinvest some of this money, now we're talking about, it's a bit more complex, but we're talking about capital gains tax, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a way you can reinvest profits into fixed assets that are going to generate money for the business, and the tax liability that you're supposed to get to pay gets deferred into another tax period. So you find that now you don't have to pay the 2.8 million on the 10 because you took all the 10 and reinvested it into more assets to grow capacity. Why? Why? Why would the tax man allow you to not pay them their money now? We all know if Rwanda Revenue wanted its money now, they would get it. Don't we see it?
Mm-hmm.
But why would they allow you? They'll say, okay, you pay us next year. Is Rwanda Revenue a bank? Are they charging you interest on that money? No, there's a reason. And that's why I want to keep driving at this. And I'm going to come back to, after you understand that, now you can understand how someone, if someone enters business, they have to understand it. They have to do it beyond profit. Now, I've explained many things, but let me bring this home. Once you understand that profit is needed for growth, why is it so important to the government, to society, to yourself, that your company grows? One word: impact. You're producing a product that's serving a customer need, a market need. If your company grows, you're serving a larger, you're serving more needs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If your company is bigger and you have more customers, you're making more money. That means that the government can charge you more. It gets more in taxes, tax revenue. And if your company grows, it creates more jobs, employs more citizens. What does that do? It creates a productive society that benefits everybody. Growth is the purpose of profit. So profit is not an end. It's a means to an end. And that end is simply impact.
Thank you, Ephraim. I wonder if we all look at business this way, that all growth, impact, or do we just want to start a company, make some money? Some of us don't even reinvest in the company. I've had people who say, well, I opened my company, I no longer invest. I'm just picking profits now. It's my time to reap my profit.
Mm-hmm.
Go for holiday. Vibe and vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Fall the company flat.
Mm-hmm.
Go open another one.
Mm-hmm.
Start.
Mm-hmm.
Make it profitable.
Mm-hmm.
Eat it out.
Mm-hmm.
and move on. Mm-hmm. You're having the money and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not profitable, shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this what we do most of the time?
This is a very tricky question. You've asked me many things, and I want to see how I can talk about each of them as is important.
In 1.5 minutes, by the way.
Okay, quickly. Number one, you don't... To each their own, let me put it like that. Everybody has why they do what they do. But I'm telling you this based on what I've seen. Number one, money will never buy you happiness. And I know someone will be like, what? I'm broke. Money will make your life easier. It will solve a lot of problems. But money in of itself is not what gives you happiness. What gives you happiness is the feeling of fulfillment, that your life has meaning. That imagine if a woman loved you, Jesse, because of the money you had, or a woman loved you in spite of the money you have, she loves you for who you are. In the sense that if you lost the money, will she still stay? Versus someone else who's just with you for the money. Money is still involved, but the reality is that your happiness with this woman who loves you for who you are is significantly greater than the one who just loves you for your money. It's the same thing with life. If your life is tailored around the whole concept of money will make my life, I will make me happy, it won't. But if you say, there are other things in life that make me happy, and money can help accelerate or enhance these things, then money becomes a tool, and money does buy you some form of happiness. And so it's the same thing in the form of profit. Now, coming back to the question, truth be told, the way entrepreneurship is hard, if your why is only money, there will be the next best thing tomorrow that will be like, okay, I'm going to go into that. Jesse, you know it. We've been talking today about some of the issues you're having in business. Imagine the headache associated with dealing with staff who are not honest. If you didn't have a stronger why than just the fact that you want to make money, I guarantee you 1 year, 2 years into it, you're like, I'm done. That's why 90% of all businesses close down or fail within the first 5 years.
I remember having a conversation with someone about the same challenges I was having, and they said, and you still have to invest?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, imagine if every business woke up one day and said, because we never made profit last quarter, everyone go home.
Do you know, there's an interesting statistic, do you know Amazon for almost 19 years, if I'm not wrong, didn't make a profit? Amazon. Because it wasn't, people need to understand that business is not purely about profit. Profit is necessary, that's why it's a business. But profit is a means to an end. It's for growth. That's why you find a guy like Elon Musk will go sell, and I'm using these big names because that the information is public for people to go research. You'll find a guy like that will sell his company for, I don't know how many hundreds of millions of dollars. This is PayPal. And then take all that money and invest it in crazy ideas, electric vehicles, space travel. And you're like, homie, what? It's because it's a means to an end. He's not looking to have $100 million. The truly great entrepreneurs look beyond the money. They're like, yes, economic empowerment of myself is important, but it's beyond me. Elon Musk's ideology is that he wants to save the human race, even though I don't know if he'll do it. That's his business. But that's what he's fixated on.
It's living entrepreneurship by salty. Too much of the economics applied into entrepreneurial study, and you can name it. Welcome back, lifers. It might sound a little heavy today, but allow us to just take you step by step in understanding. Ephraim has done a very good job to help us understand what profit is and the purpose for profit. Yes, we open up businesses because we want to earn a living.
Mm-hmm.
But is there something more to it? You earn a living and there is something more to it. We know so many folks in industries who've opened up businesses and they're not profitable for a long while,
mm-hmm.
but they still continue to invest and demonstrate their passion around the things that they have started in the entrepreneurial journey. Ephraim, in your opinion, how can businesses effectively integrate the social environmental concerns into their core operations without compromising their financial performance?
That's a fantastic question. And I want us to talk about it from a living entrepreneurship perspective.
Mm.
Because if I sat here and I gave you, talked about ESG, environmental, social, and governance frameworks that are out there in the world that everybody's trying to adopt because that's how you get financing in today's world, that's for big MNCs, multinational corporations. That has nothing to do with Jesse's Sparkle Beauty Lounge or or Ephraim's, I don't know what. It needs to be practical.
Mm.
Now, let me talk of my own personal example, right? Do you know why Salty Africa is called Salty Africa? You know, at least. But for the life who is not listening and anyone who I've never told this story, is because I felt salt represents the salt and light of this world.
Mm.
The Christians who are listening to this know what that scripture is. It's in Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16, 12 to 14, sorry. And it talks about being the salt and light of the world. And we genuinely, or I personally genuinely believe that through what we do with living entrepreneurship and all the other pillars that are associated with Salty Africa, that the desire is to bring some form of life and flavor and healing to the entrepreneurship landscape in which our audiences are.
Mm.
It's not about the money. Whatever money we make from this, I would willingly give it back after I've removed what can take care of me and my family, at least giving us a base to have an investment portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, it's not about me. And that's what gives life meaning. Coming back now to a business, when you sit down to do strategic formulation as a company, there are five levels, if I'm not wrong, of strategy formulation. First level, you have to have a vision. This is where you want to go. The second level is you have to have a mission. This is what you're doing at present, but and who you're serving. So in that, in an actionable way. The third level is objectives. So these are your goals. Now, these goals are SMART goals: specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time bound. Then you have a fourth level, which is now determining your critical success factors. These are the action steps you need to take to achieve success that are absolutely necessary. The last level is KPIs. Your key performance indicators. That is how you design your strategic formulation, your strategy.
I didn't hear about values.
You did, but you didn't. You don't know where you heard it. It's around vision and mission.
Oh, okay, yes.
And now to simplify that statement, we have talked about the four W's of strategy. And I'm doing this because I'm rehashing conversations we've had before.
Mm.
The four W's, we had the what, the who, the way, which is the how, and then we had the why.
Mm.
The why. The why is what's going to allow you to wake up every morning and deal with the problems as you go by. It's the reason. In French, they say raison d'être. The reason for being. The reason to do. You need a reason. Life is void of reason. Everything has a purpose. This microphone I'm speaking into has a purpose. Whatever is in front of it has a purpose. The cable has a purpose. The arm has a purpose.
Mm.
The computer, the phone, the speaker, the oxygen, nitrogen, everything has a purpose. That is the fundamental of existence. Something cannot exist without purpose. Because the creator of that thing knows the purpose. So if you go and you design a business and the sole purpose is to make money, unfortunately, that's not a strong enough reason, because there are many ways for you to make money. Even a job, if you get a very good paying job that supersedes the income you're expecting to get from your business, you're just going to shift focus and close down.
Hmm.
But if your focus is to create employment, create meaningful employment. And do you know the impact a job has on somebody? Do you know what happens? Like, if you create a job for someone, do you know the impact? A meaningful job where they're getting paid decent wages for decent work. Do you know how it can change not just our lives, but the lives of their children, their families, their extended families, the people in their villages? If you sit down and you're like, if I can in this year create three good meaning jobs,
mm-hmm.
you're being impactful. I was telling this to somebody. I'm like, the interesting thing why so many people deal with I feel like I'm repeating myself over and over again, but I'll keep preaching this method, this ideology, because for me it works. If you go and you sit down and you try to pinpoint sources of unhappiness amongst people, you will find that what is at the core of it is a sense of meaninglessness. This feeling that it is worth nothing. All this is meaningless.
Mm.
And that's what I'm trying to tell you. If you make the mistake of going into business when you know very well that all you want from that business is to make money, you're going to struggle.
Some people argue that prioritizing social environmental goals could detract a company from being competitive in the market. And maybe the question would be, how would you respond to such concerns? And what evidence or examples can you provide to support your stance?
Okay, so I would say, and now coming back to this, I've explained why it's important to have a strong why. But I didn't mention that you also need to bake your why into your how. So the four W's are interlinked. There's a synergy between all of them. So your what, your who, your how, and your why are all tied together. They're not done in silos, right? What that simply means is that if I design my business model with impact at its core, I can make money and be impactful. What do I mean by that? If I'm creating a product to make people's lives better at a profit, my product is designed to make people's lives better, and I've done my market research and I've understood it. I'm having a social impact, but I'm still making money. People think that social good, this is actually what people think about social, but times have changed, but people still think like that. They think they can go be shrewd, they can go be shady, they can go do business in ways that are not straight, get the profits from that, and then whitewash themselves by doing some charity stuff. They do a CSR project, they give some money, they go to some sick women in the hospital in Chibagabaga and they help them. Like, I'm not saying that that's bad. What I'm just trying to say is that is old-fashioned. Mm-hmm. Today's society, you can design a business model that is green, that is socially conscious and impactful in a positive way, and actually helps not just even the customers or the shareholders, but even the employees. You can decide internally, you can do training on financial management and create savings groups within an organization. When you've had Isaac on your show, didn't he talk about employers who are training employees on personal financial management? Mm-hmm. Because they realize that there's an impact of somebody having a poor financial management in their personal life, and it affects their productivity at work. Because someone is thinking about, how am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to sort out my bills?
Mm.
And they don't, and they're not thinking about the work at hand. That's social impact. There is hardly any cost to it. Unless you are thinking the traditional way of doing things that are, again, like buying sacks of rice and inviting all the media, the Jessies of this world, to come and cover your experience. And so for what you're giving, that is not how it's done. And so I genuinely believe that anybody who tells you that you have it's either or has not heard us talk about the spirit of duality. Duality is this, and the world is much bigger than this something or. It's not either or.
But tell me, from what you see, I know there are some corporations who have been able to do this. I'm talking about corporations because they are indeed corporations. They are big.
Mm.
They have budgets for impact initiatives.
Mm.
Or they have grants, big grants on funding, like what we see today with Irema Invest.
Mm.
I mean, this is big money you're talking about, encouraging companies to go green.
Mm.
But then in the small companies, you don't expect to see an entrepreneur thinking, we have to think for society, even as we do business. That is one.
Mm.
The other one that I wanted to query about is... these big corporations, are they normally just acting politically, or they are intentional? Politically is so to mean we want to be perceived like this, but not really intentional, but we should be perceived like this in the market where we're functioning, but we're here for the money.
So the reality is, Jesse, let me start with your second question and I'll go to your first one, right? In reality, only a fool can stand and say he knows the intentions of another person purely. You can try to understand why somebody does something, but no one can know for sure why somebody does what they do. I know some companies use it for good PR. There's no mutimungiza around it, though the benefit is there, but it's purely just for optics to say, hey, we are here in the community. We are part of you guys. We love you, even though we charge you exorbitant prices for the services we give you, and we don't give you quality product service. Yeah, but we love you.
Here's some rice. Data doesn't really much how much you spend, but
we love you. We don't solve your problems. We chop your money and we never resolve it. But we have given some women in the community or some cows because we love you. That is their business. There are others who you can genuinely see that these guys care so much about the ecosystem in which they operate.
Mm.
Yes, there are some benefits, that economic benefits to them, like any company that will get, but you can see it. And this is how you can see the difference. The difference between a company, me, this is my own personal judgment, right? The difference between a company that cares and a company that doesn't care is that a company that cares builds it into their business model. You can see they care for you, not just in the money they give you after they've made a profit off of you, mm. but in also how they carry themselves in their interaction with you. There are some companies, man, their call centers are so helpful. You call, they are willing to help you. They are trying to find solutions. They are like, okay, I'm going to hang up here, but I'm calling you back. Then they call you directly on the line. They say, mm-hmm. if you have any issues, let me know. I had an interesting interaction with RSSB and I loved it. I'm like, wow. As an employer, this is so fantastic. Like, wow. And so if RSSB go and do a campaign to give cows, I wouldn't doubt their authenticity. But there are some companies you know very well that are overcharging you, they're exploiting you, and they don't even pick up when you have problems. And those are the same ones who want to tell you that they went and they gave scholarships to young children. You're like, yeah, there's a disconnect between what you actually do and this fluff that you're doing on the side. So that is my perspective on it.
I'm not going to allow you to exhaust the answer to the question, but I also wanted to frame lastly in this 1.5 or 2 minutes that we have.
Mm.
Is there a scenario where a company
mm-hmm.
is big
mm-hmm.
on a social value,
mm-hmm.
but then doing so poorly on profitability? There is nothing for the shareholders. The company doesn't make profit.
Hmm.
But, I mean, in corporate behavior, their value addition to community, and they are a for-profit company. It's not an NGO, so to say.
We're talking now big companies, right?
Well, big or small.
I would say, let me talk about big companies, just touch on it, then I'll talk about small because those are the lifers listening. I think big companies have agendas because they are in of themselves behemoths of entities. So they have multifaceted agendas within the organization of itself. So mm. there's not just the overall vision of the company, but even the individuals involved in charge of running it with the power and influence within it have agendas that they're pushing. So you might find that they are maybe targeting to sell the business, or they're targeting to merge, or they're targeting for a grant from a particular fund that's giving green funding
mm-hmm.
to help them spur on. So you find that they invest in that, so they reduce their profitability so they can position themselves. That is one. But now let me talk of small businesses. If you're a small business and you are more focused on social causes than you are on profitability, there's a certain level of responsibility on your side.
You just can't suck on 100%.
You can't make profit. Your employees are barely creating employment, and you're taking all that money and giving it away.
Mm.
Why? Because I come back to what I said earlier, that profit has a purpose, right? It's growth. And part of that growth is creating more employment. You'd rather create jobs than give money away.
Mm.
Yeah. Simple. Just let me say, would you rather give money away to somebody that you're giving to him once off away, or you'd rather give a job to somebody who has income regularly every month, at least for 3 years?
I think the latter works perfectly well. And this is where I'd like us to bring this conversation to an end.
No worries.
Maybe before we go,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Sunday, which is tomorrow.
Yes.
Is the 7th of April.
Yes.
Big day, not just for the community around here,
mm-hmm.
but internationally. I see the African Union
mm-hmm.
is jumping onto the commemoration of the genocide against the Tutsi.
Mm-hmm.
I see the US President mm-hmm. Biden has sent a team here, which is going to be led by Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
I see Rwanda organizing big events
mm-hmm.
Through this weekend, and for the next 100 days, it's commemoration.
Mm-hmm.
of the genocide against the Tutsi that happened in 1994. Mm. Where, as small businesses, do you see getting involved,
mm.
an opportunity for them also to say, we are with the country in that one spirit going forward? We have 1 minute for you to say something.
I would say that businesses are a reflection of the character of the people in those businesses.
Mm.
And I think the number one thing you can do as a business owner, again, as we commemorate the 30th anniversary of the genocide, the 1994 genocide against the Tutsi,
mm.
the biggest challenge we're having right now is negationists, revisionists, and deniers.
Mm.
People who are trying to change the narrative. Because as time passes on and time moves between when something happened and where you are, people would want to rewrite history because they think you're forgotten. And that's why we say Kwibuk, because we are remembering so that we never repeat the mistakes of the past. Or not even the mistakes of the past, but we don't repeat the atrocities of the past.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I say this because as a business, you can play a role as an individual in how you go about fostering unity within your organization, within the communities you do business, even the causes you stand for, because we've talked about beyond profit and we've talked about impact. There is a way you can play a role, and it doesn't come at a cost, in ensuring that certain things don't get lost in translation as time moves on.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a business owner and you have a younger generation, are you playing a role in educating them? During this time, you can take your staff and they go to the genocide memorial in Jisozi. And they educate, especially the younger generation.
Mm.
If need be, find a way to get invitations for your workers to attend maybe the night vigil. Find ways to plug your people into this conversation, because your business is the quality of the people who are part of it. And one of the fundamental aspects of ensuring that your people are aware is ensuring that they are knowledgeable of the environment in which they do business. Even as Rwandans, we underestimate how most young people lack some understanding of our past as a country.
Mm.
And so that is a continuous conversation that needs to happen, because, again, the revisionists and the deniers are having these conversations online where these young people are. And they are a line of defense, and so they need to be empowered. And wherever any business is, it has a role to play.
Thank you so much, Ephraim. Insightful conversation for today. Living Entrepreneurship by Salty. We are available on all platforms where you can access our podcast.
Yes, you can find us on X, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube at Salty Africa. That's SALTEE Africa.
Thank you so much indeed. God bless you as we sign out. Bye-bye.